I'll invite you to keep your bulletin handy as we walk through today's sermon, which is more a teaching sermon. There's emerged this summer series of three messages. Last week, we were talking about being summer healers. As we went into the weeks of summer as a people who were healed and then also bearers of Christ's healing. Today, I'm encouraging us to be summer Sabbathers, and we'll learn more of what that might look like as we enter into these weeks of July and August, summer Sabbathers. And next week, we'll be talking about being summer sinners. So that'll be really exciting. So please come back for that one. The bracket will be and saints, summer sinners and saints. If you read Romans 7 and prepare for next week's message, you'll know why it's called that. But I'll invite you to just hold your, well, have your bulletin near, because the bottom left-hand corner of the inside of your bulletin talks about the four movements of Sabbath, and that'll just help give you a framework as we're walking through today's message. And then on the back side of the bulletin, we're going to close with this Sabbath prayer. So it's quite possibly our least adhered to commandment in the Bible. Number four of the Big Ten. Number four, which is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Exodus 20, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested the seventh day. And again, it's given in Deuteronomy 5. This time it's not so much a do this because God did it. It's more a do this because it's a matter of justice and love for the good of the world. Verse 12, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What God was saying there was, remember when you were slaves in Egypt? It was work, 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 oppression upon oppression. And I command you as this people of a new way to not be the oppressors. You are not to be the taskmasters of yourselves or to others. God is God and we are not. That is the good news of the day. If you remember anything from today's message, God is God and we are not. And so God exhorts us, commands us to be Sabbathers. And so we're going to quickly move through the four movements. And these four movements aren't sequential. As we talk about them and as you reflect on them, you'll find that maybe these movements swirl around in your life and your week in different times and different ways. But these four movements will help shape and frame those Sabbath moments, those Sabbath hours, and maybe even a Sabbath day in your life. I'm taking these ideas from the book Keeping the Sabbath Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, by Marva Dawn. And so if you want to read more in detail about this book, and maybe a great summer reading book would be that one, Keeping the Sabbath Holy by Marva Dawn. So the first movement is ceasing. And each of these movements are also connected to parts of our Christian journey in general. So ceasing is the journey of repentance, where we say we are not God. Abraham Heschel wrote a book on Sabbath in the 70s, and he's a great Jewish theologian of the 20th century. He said that humankind has sought to control everything, but we cannot control time. Time marches on and there is nothing we can do about it. We look at those crease lines in our face and we go, time, time. time. Can't stop. Oh, sorry. We can't stop time. Unstoppable. He writes, 6 days, Heschel writes this, 6 days a week we wrestle with the world, wringing profit from the earth. On the Sabbath, we especially care for the seed of eternity planted in our souls. The world has our hands, but our souls belong to someone else. 6 days a week, we seek to dominate the world. On the seventh day, we try to dominate the self. And Heschel talks about Sabbath as a Jewish word, Shabbat, which simply means stop, cease, take a break. And we're called to take a break from work. Now, what is work? I want to just make a little side note. What is work? In Marva Don's book, she says, work is anything that we feel we must, ought, should, or have to do. And that's an acronym, MOSH. Isn't that handy? If you know me, you know I instantly grabbed onto that. Must, ought, should, or have to do. On Sabbath, we take a break and we quit or we cease those things we must, ought, should, or have to do. So maybe you can just even pause for 10 seconds here. Do you ever stop? Do you ever cease? If you're using that test, do you ever cease? Or are you always being ruled by those things you must, ought, should, or have to do? We're invited to cease. And perhaps it's ceasing our anxieties, just giving God 1 hour or one afternoon or one day to say, God, I'm going to cease my anxieties and allow you to be God. We cease our possessiveness. We cease wanting to acquire more or wanting to get the funds so that we can get that next thing. We cease our enculturation. We cease allowing ourselves to be swept up into the ways of the world. And we are simply trying to cease trying to be God. We repent of our mindset or our heart set that we can be God. We can manufacture our own future. And we let God be God. And perhaps Psalm 46 helps us be still and know that I am God. I am exalted above the nations. I am exalted in the earth. So ceasing is the first movement. The second movement is resting. If ceasing is the journey of repentance, then resting is the journey of grace. Our faith strengthens as we rest in God's grace. Now, we're pretty bad at resting, right? Because we're just so compelled to work and we're wired and trained to perform. We pursue perfection or organization or success or health or wealth or having good children, having healthy relationships, being competent, being efficient, and all those can be good things. But in Sabbath, rest in grace comes first. And then all those things come from being in that place of rest. And so that's why Psalm 23 is such a great psalm to help us. It's a resting psalm. And Marva Don points out that in this psalm, if you look at the different phrases, you see that there's 5 different rests. There's a social rest. There's a spiritual rest. There's emotional, intellectual, and physical rest. And we won't go through all the details, but we see that that's a resting psalm. So if you want to start practicing Sabbath, maybe Psalm 23 could be a real guide for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. You are with me. The interesting thing about this psalm that I've learned over the past few weeks is this psalm might have been written by David as his son, I can't remember which one of his crazy sons was overtaking the kingdom, but this might have been born out of that. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The third movement is embracing. So we cease. We rest in God's grace, but we embrace. This is kind of the outward journey, kind of the so what of Sabbath movements. We embrace the journey of grace. We embrace this life of Christ that is being formed in us and try to live the Christ way and the Christ life. As we were reflecting on this week, Amanda and I were talking about, well, what does embrace look like, Amanda, our children's minister? And I thought, it's probably like leaning in or leaning on. So it's not I'm going to work harder and just try to embrace God better, but it's a leaning in or a leaning on. And I thought of a couple images, like if you ever lean on a tree and simply look at creation. I was thinking that even with the hymn that we've already heard during the anthem. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. So that embracing is a leaning in or a leaning on, or I think about Jesus and His disciples sitting at the table. And in first century meals, the people would actually lean on each other as they gathered around tables for meals. And so they weren't sitting in chairs all prim and proper, but they were leaning because they were on the ground on these low tables. And there's stories that reflect on how John, the beloved disciple, if he was at table with Jesus, he was probably leaning on Christ's chest, his bosom, his heart. Leaning on, leaning in, and perhaps even hearing the heartbeat of Christ. That's what I imagine when we think about embracing our journey of growth. We lean in and we lean on. So we cease, we rest, we embrace. The fourth movement of Sabbath is feast. This is the journey of joy, where we feast on the joy that is now and also not yet, as we look forward to a fuller joy with Christ in the final gathering. And I hope that you think that church is a great place to feast on Sabbath, because we get to feast on worship. All the aspects of our weekly worship service are intentional. We simply don't sing, hear a Bible lesson, and then go home. Every part of our liturgy matters. And so as we walk through this liturgy Sunday after Sunday, it might not be the sermon that totally meets you and is that God-transforming moment. It might not be, but it often is, right? 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 I mean, it might not be. And the way that we shape our service is that, unlike other churches that I've been a part of, we don't have a 50-minute sermon. It might be 15 to 18 minutes. Gasp! Why? Because we believe that the whole worship service is a place for you to feast and encounter the living God. And so even today, as Gabriel was playing This Is My Father's World, that's it. We could have gone home after that. Am I right? Am I right? Just resting in the beauty and feasting on the words of that hymn that we probably remember from even our childhood. And we could have taken that into the world and been healers and Sabbathers. But I need to prove my worth to you Sunday after Sunday. And so I needed to... No. Every part of the service matters. The hymns, the prayers, the anthems, the sending, the blessing, the invitation, yes, the word. So we feast on worship. We feast on the word of God. Yes, we believe that this Bible of ours is living manna, living bread for us week after week. And we feast at the table. We value the communion table, the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. And so we feast and we actually talk about taking in the bread and drinking in the cup as not only symbol, but here we've tried to nudge it a bit as Anabaptists and say that as we partake of the bread, as we drink of the cup, that we believe that there's this real presence of Christ that's supernatural, that's mysterious, but we take in Christ into our bodies. And so we carry Christ into the world as we feast in worship, as we feast on the word, as we feast at the table like we have the opportunity today. There's other ways to feast, and Marva Don talks about feasting with music and beauty, going to beautiful places on Sabbath and simply being in those places of beauty. And again, we think our sanctuary is a pretty beautiful place to be on a Sabbath, in this place that's set apart for worship and loving and adoring our living God. We feast with affections on Sabbath days or Sabbath afternoons or Sabbath evenings. Hang out with the people that you love. Run away from the people that hate you on Sabbath. Because those people often are the, oh, I must, I ought, I should, I have to be in this place. We feast with food on Sabbath days or Sabbath hours. Bring out good food. Good drink, eat, and be merry. So these four movements are probably things that you already do in your life as a Christian. But I've found these movements so helpful in helping shape my Sabbath days or my Sabbath hours. I really know that I'm Sabbathing when I feel like I'm ceasing or I'm resting in God's grace or I'm feasting with people that I love to be with. Or I'm simply finding quiet, non-striving ways to embrace the grace of God in my life. And so I trust that this is not all new news to you, but maybe this is a helpful way to help frame those Sabbath times and those Sabbath days in your life and in the life of our community. So try it. Experiment with it. Maybe it's just in the beginning setting an hour aside a week to say, I'm really going to somehow let God be God and trust for this hour or this 2 hours or this 3 hours that God's going to be able to keep on being God and I don't have to be God. I found this great Will Willimon quote this week as he talked about Sabbath. He said, Sabbath keeping is a publicly enacted sign of our trust that God keeps the world. Therefore, we do not have to. God welcomes our labors, but our contributions to the world have their limits. If even God trusted creation enough to be confident that the world would continue while God rested, so should we. And perhaps this Sabbath prayer that's on the back of your bulletin today will be a helpful way to shape and pray your way and maybe even declare your way through Sabbath. Let's close with this prayer. Lord of creation, create in us a new rhythm of life composed of hours that sustain rather than stress, of days that deliver rather than destroy, of time that tickles rather than tackles. Lord of liberation, by the rhythm of your truth, set us free from the bondage and baggage that breaks us, from the pharaohs and fellows who fail us, from the plans and pursuits that prey upon us. Lord of resurrection, may we be raised into the rhythm of your new life, dead to deceitful calendars, dead to fleeting friend requests, dead to the empty peace of our accomplishments. To our packed full planners, we bid, let's say it together, peace. To our over-caffeinated consciences, we say, cease. To our suffering selves, Lord, grant release. Drowning in a sea of deadlines and death chimes, we rest in you, our lifeline. By your ever-restful grace, allow us to enter your Sabbath rest as your Sabbath rest enters into us. In the name of our Creator, our Liberator, our resurrection and life, we pray. Amen.